And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so lovely to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley. As always, I'm joined by Gerald Quigley. Good morning.
Morning, Jo.
And also Zoe Bingley-Pullen. Lovely to see you again.
You too, guys. Hey, Zoe. Hope you're well.
All right. Now, I feel like I know the answer to this question already. just understanding the two of you as I do. Mm-hmm. But
good luck with that.
Would you say that your house is well organized and free of clutter?
Let's just put it this way. I am obsessed with decluttering. In fact, I have a whole theory that when you buy something, you have to throw something out. And minimalism is one of my favourite words. So, yes, to answer your question.
I mean, I've seen your video, you know, your cooking videos and your kitchen, certainly, I think. She didn't do that just for this video. No, this looks amazing.
Someone's done that.
What about you, Gerald?
Look, I'm a bit betwixt and between. I don't want Philippa to declutter in case she gets rid of me, but... I get into trouble the other way, that if something's put out for use perhaps in an hour, there are allegations that I will, in fact, inadvertently put it away.
Okay.
And sometimes that doesn't go down well.
Mm. Well, I like to bring the every person perspective on this. In that I am complete chaos. And as much as I try, somehow my house is still very, let's say, creative.
But it doesn't work. That's the thing. So I think there can be a bit of everything in all of this.
Well, definitely. But I will say, and this is the whole perspective of our conversation today, is decluttering for your health. Mm. I do believe there is a connection between your workspace and your living space and mental health. And I think I have clarity of thought when my workspace is at least tidy. I have trouble staying on top of that. And I don't know how more stuff comes into our house because I'm always saying, stop buying it. I don't want it. I don't buy anything. Yet the stuff is there, right? So it's a struggle, I think. Sometimes your house just ends up building up more and more stuff.
But you've got to be comfortable. There are obviously some people who are very comfortable in their own skin with chaos because they know where everything is until that particular item is not there. Then it's total chaos. So you're saying everything should have its spot?
Well, we are talking about health, physical and mental health, and in relation to decluttering today. And, you know, there are many theories around this. So we are going to be chatting with Peter Walsh. He is an Australian-born international declutter guru.
Awesome.
I love it. He appeared alongside Oprah Winfrey on her TV show for 5 seasons.
She strikes me as someone who'd be very tidy.
If she isn't, she would have someone to do it for her.
I would imagine so.
Good point.
I would say. But Peter has more recently been seen on the Nine Network's primetime TV series, Space Invaders. His motto is, love what you have what you need, be happier with less, which I absolutely support. So I'm looking forward to speaking with Peter. Also coming up, Dr. Liz Peratz, a cardiologist from the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute, will be talking about this very tragic situation with sudden adult death syndrome. It's known as SADS. And Dr. Peratz explains exactly what it is and tells us about the registry that's been set up to monitor its occurrence. It's just a very, very sad phenomenon. And Gerald is going to tell us about medical nutrient drinks. Very interesting, this one. And the A to Z of vitamins, it's Manuka honey. It is a very jam-packed show, so we need to get into it. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 131-873. If you have any questions to support your health or well-being today, Gerald and Zoe are both here to answer your questions. Or maybe you have a decluttering life hack. Are you an organising whiz? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 131-873. Next, how to declutter your life for your health.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
If you can't get enough of the House of Wellness, here's great news. As you know, you can listen to the program every Sunday, as you're doing right now. But you can also watch House of Wellness Fridays from 2pm and Sundays from 12pm on Channel 7. Enjoy a power-packed hour of entertainment covering real people, real stories, breakthrough technology, insightful guests and the best experts who can give you a stimulating and fresh approach to your health and well-being. From meditation to mindfulness, from vitamins to veganism, the House of Wellness has all you need to improve your well-being and live your best life. The House of Wellness Fridays from 2pm and Sundays from 12pm on Sunday, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. 131 873 is our number. Do give us a call with any questions to support your health. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. And we were to be speaking with Peter Walsh, decluttering guru, right about now, but we were calling into Madrid to actually contact him. And unsurprisingly, we're having trouble.
He's probably enjoying him. He'd be enjoying a glass of rosé on a veranda somewhere at midnight, I'd say.
A little vermouth.
Yes. So instead of speaking, we hope to get to you, Peter, later in the show, but instead, let's go to this very important issue. SADS, also known as sudden adult death syndrome, is an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people. And right now, our young with a family history of cardiac illness are being urged to get their hearts screened. Joining us on the line is Dr. Liz Peratz, a cardiologist at the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute, to talk about an important registry that is the first of its kind in Australia. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you please explain SADS? Like, who gets it and how does it affect people?
Yeah, so, well, you've already introduced it really well. SADS, as you said, is sort of an umbrella term and it's called sudden arrhythmic death syndrome. Sometimes people have been calling it sudden adult death syndrome in the media. We in Australia often call it unascertained or unexplained cardiac death as well, more commonly than SADS is our term. And what it means is that a person, usually a young person, has died suddenly and all the investigations, including an autopsy, have not shown any cause. They've shown what appears to be a normal heart, a normal everything. And so the family are left with no clear answers as to why this person has tragically, essentially dropped dead.
Mm. Oh, it's awful. Dr. Peratz, I was quite shocked to read that it's one of the biggest killers of Australians under 50. But can you just explain to me, what actually is the difference between cardiac arrest and heart attack? Because we understand, you know, heart attack is more obvious shortness of breath, you know, could be, you know, the classics of left atrium failure. But could you explain the difference?
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up, because this gets confused a lot. So a cardiac arrest, which is what we're talking about in our research, that's when the heart has stopped. Arrest means to stop. So it stops suddenly. And there could be a lot of reasons why that is. It could be an electrical problem. It could be a muscle weakness. It could be a genetic issue. It could be a heart attack. And so a heart attack is when there's a blockage in your coronary arteries, usually a mix of sort of cholesterol and blood clots and fat and all sorts of plaque that's built up. So a heart attack is when there is something to find. If you were to do an autopsy, you would find a blockage in one of the arteries. But only about 10% of people who have a heart attack will have a cardiac arrest. So the two terms are absolutely not interchangeable.
Liz, from all that you've explained, there appears to be a genetic issue, obviously. Is that the only thing we can take comfort from, that if you have a genetic issue within the family, and how do you discover that, does that then expose you to perhaps the risk factors?
So genetics do explain some of these events, but not all of them. And we know that essentially there's a lot that we don't know. So to give you some numbers, if you have an unexplained death in a young person occur and you go on to do genetic testing, maybe in about up to 20 to 30% of cases, that might give you an answer that there's a genetic issue in the family. So it's not a huge number. Okay. And a lot of that is that there are still genes we haven't discovered. Okay. So that's a major focus of research, trying to answer the question for more families. But beyond that, there are people for whom it's the first time in their family this has happened. The genetic investigations don't show anything. And so we just don't have a clear answer as to why this has happened.
Goodness me.
You know, Liz, it's quite interesting because it seems like it's men, they're fit and they're healthy, which is huge, huge alarm bells. But I read that you've set up a registry to actually look at how many cases of young people have had cardiac arrest this year. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So we set this up 3 years ago. It's called the End Unexplained Cardiac Death Registry, or the End-UCD Registry. It's initially rolled out in Victoria. It's planned to go nationwide, but obviously COVID has put a bit of a break on that over the last 3 years. But hopefully it will be soon. And what we do is we have every case of a young person who's had a sudden cardiac arrest from the ambulance service, and we then match that against the forensic data to work out what the causes have been. And we invite the families as well to come for heart screening for their health and psychological support.
Is there any way that we can prevent this?
Well, that's really almost the main focus of our research, trying to work out what opportunities have been missed, what can be prevented. And I guess the things that we've would advocate for, if someone in your family has died at a young age and it wasn't particularly clear why, and that could include things like they drowned but they were a really good swimmer and it was a quiet day, or there was a car accident and it didn't seem to be a suicide, you know, an unexplained death, and they were young and under 50, it's really reasonable to get your heart checked out, and we would be really keen to meet you and offer that as well. Would be the main thing.
I just can't imagine how very difficult it must be for families.
Oh, yes. Incredibly difficult.
Yes. Liz, do you think homocysteine levels play a role? You've mentioned a whole lot of things, but from a nutritional perspective, is that worthwhile? Well, have you considered that?
So we do have a genetic biobank, and we are looking at some of the sort of rarer things and also all the little incremental things that may add up and play a role. Mm. But we haven't at this point found a clear signal for nutritional things. And, of course, one of the big challenges is we're often working backwards with people after they've died. And young, fit people often don't visit the doctor and have lots of blood tests done in life.
Okay. Right.
So we don't have to hand, you know, often we don't even know what their cholesterol level was in life. So that is a big challenge. We can look at sort of genetic markers, but looking at things like the actual nutritional levels in life can be quite challenging.
Yes, I see.
Would you say, Liz, that I guess already we're a step towards finding some solution in that now we have a term? Because I feel like this is quite new.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've always recognised for decades that unascertained or unexplained death is a major killer of young people who are dying suddenly. But it's a term that in a lot of ways leaves, I think, families uncertain who to reach out to for a support group or what to look up if they're trying to Google more about it. SADS is a term that's used more overseas. It's still not what we would put on an Australian autopsy report, for example. But I think the sort of use of a term maybe is helpful in giving people more to look up and Google or reach out to medical experts with.
And I do hope that there is some increasing support for families who experience such a tragic loss, Liz.
Yes, I think, you know, it's obviously the first thing is this is an absolute tragedy out of the blue. But then the second hit is just not actually having a term or knowledge of what's happened to explain, and then saying, well, is anyone else in the family at risk? So you don't even get closure on that point.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation, Liz. It's been great to have you
on the
show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Do give us a call, 131 873. We'll get to your calls next. Plus, we're going to learn about the health benefits of medical nutrition drinks. That's on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Zoe Bingley-Pullen. And we're here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Let's get to some calls. Good morning, June from Essendon.
Hello, June.
Oh, hello. I look after a 15-year-old boy who's 100 kilos.
Yes.
And he has ADHD.
Yes.
I'm giving him Equidin 4, but it says on the bottle 5 plus. Is that strong enough for his age and weight?
No, I think it would be worth giving him a little more. So is it EQUAZEN? Is that what you're giving?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. No, look, the fort should be enough, but are you finding there's no change during over time? Is that your concern?
Yes, that's right.
How about for the next 4 weeks we give an extra one? Remembering that this is a combination of essential fatty acids specific for brain function. So it's got the clinical evidence of help, but maybe at 100 kilos, his body weight means that it just isn't sufficient. And, the general terms, this is the dose of an adult, can change completely. So bearing in mind, it's not a drug. It's a combination of essential fatty acids. Please do that. And I'd be delighted to know if you could drop me an email to houseofwellness.com.au. There's an ask tab. Just give me an update in 4 weeks' time, please.
And, June, we always talk about sort of what is the right type of diet for ADHD. It's very complicated as well. But if we can focus on, exactly like Joe was saying, a diet very rich in all those beneficial fats, we know that they're very supportive from everything from nerve system to brain function. And the other thing we tend to find also is a lot of these kids seem to be quite depleted in key minerals such as zinc and magnesium. So it is worthwhile. You could do a zinc tally test. It's, again, you can go to your pharmacist. They can explain to you how to do it. But there is clear links to that. And also magnesium's beautiful to help with sleep, and sometimes the medication with ADHD can affect their sleep at night time. So a little bit of lovely soothing magnesium can help as well.
All the best with that, June. Good morning, Jan from Vaucluse.
Morning, Jan.
Good morning. I have been suffering with vertigo since February when it started. Mm-hmm. I'm 88 years old, and I just wanted to know a little about it. It's last week. Oh, 2 weeks ago, I had one, which was a really bad one.
Is your doctor giving you any medication, Jan? Usually a medication called prochlorperazine or Stematil?
Stematil works to a point. I haven't had the other one, no.
No, well, they're both the same. One's the generic name and one's the premium brand name. So you take those for a few days and it settles and then it comes back, does it?
Pardon?
You take the Stematil for a few days to settle it, and then it comes back? Is that the issue?
Yes, I don't take it for a few days. I take it perhaps two in one day, and it disappears. I do the exercises too, which I've been given, you know.
Good. And have you had any change of medications, Jan? Is there anything that in your life that may have brought this on, like a change of medication?
No,
okay.
Nothing at all.
Okay. Now, there is an extract of ginkgo biloba, and it's got a funny name. It's called EGB761. Your pharmacist will have that. It comes in tablet form. And start with one a day. So it's one a day each day, Jan. And if all goes well and you're feeling okay and you're finding it's working and taking the symptoms away, stay with it. If it's not, then you can take one twice a day, EGB761. Your pharmacy will have it, and I'm sure you'll find a change.
And it's also worthwhile just looking at all those B vitamins. There's linked to deficiency in B12 and B6 when it comes to both tinnitus and vertigo because of the impact of the nervous system. So, again, you can talk to your pharmacist about that, or, you know, basically eat foods rich in B vitamins, which are all your grains and legumes, and they're fortified in a lot of foods as well.
All the best with that, Jan. I know that vertigo is a very challenging thing. Now, chances are that most of us know someone with Alzheimer's disease. It is the most common form of dementia as we age. Our risk of getting it increases. Its symptoms and progression varies according to the individual. And today we look at assistance in the area of medical nutrition. Now, Gerald, you're a pharmacist and master herbalist. I know that you're not a doctor, but are you able to give us some current stats on Alzheimer's in our country?
It's the most common form of dementia, Joe, and it affects up to, we estimate, 70% of all people with dementia. So 3 in 10 people over 85. And the big risk factor is that we're all getting older and we're living longer. So it's an ongoing issue.
Mm.
It's interesting, Gerald, because my mum has Alzheimer's, but can you explain to people some of the symptoms? Because I was quite surprised when we went back into her history, some of the symptoms that she was having, which we didn't think were Alzheimer's-related symptoms.
Well, we're talking here about a person's ability to retain efficient brain function, Zoe. So those abilities can fluctuate from day to day, even within one day, from morning till afternoon. in times of stress or fatigue or ill health. Mm. So we think of short-term memory that just disappears. We think of sometimes behaviour, even attitude, tone of the voice.
Definitely.
You know, sometimes there can be some aggression, mm-hmm. particularly in the afternoon. Now, all these sorts of things, we might just say, oh, look, mum's just a bit cranky in the afternoon, whatever, whatever. But it can be a sign of diminishing.
We did say that a couple of times.
Yeah, and look, it's difficult. It's really difficult to cope with, but it's a sign of the times. At least now we recognise that these things are happening and there are some options that we can make a difference.
So what about the role of medical nutrition?
Well, there's been a lot of studies done over the years on nutrition, and certainly a long-term study done with a specific formulation to help brain function, particularly the synapses. So we're looking here about something that over a three-year period, there is a medical nutrition drink, Suvenade, and this is what has been proven to be. It slowed the progression of memory and cognitive decline by 60%, which is pretty good. It reduces brain shrinkage by 33% and reduced the loss of everyday task performance by 45%. Now, it's not something that works tomorrow. We're talking here about feeding an organ, which is our brain, to help retain and restore and reduce the further decline. That's really what it's all about.
And, Gerald, it's so important because what I love about something like this as well is it's quite an easy thing, because I definitely know with my mum, she's on so many different medications, and I often find that we can kind of hide, in inverted commas, without kind of being disrespectful, a lot of these supplements in a liquid form much more successfully than we can in a tablet form as well.
Yes, and that's the beauty of a medicinal and nutritional drink, that it's pleasant, it's easy, pop it in the fridge, and it's just once a day. Now, this isn't meant to take the place of medications.
Good
this
nutritional.
Is really, yeah, this can't be substituted for medical advice, and you need to have a chat to your doctor about it. But as time goes by, there'll be more of these amazing options where we can gently restore and feed rather than try and treat once the damage is done.
Absolutely fascinating. Thanks so much for that, Gerald. Do keep your calls coming, 131 873. We'll get to more of your calls next on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Alzheimer's disease can affect your memory, thinking and behaviour. Suvenade is a medical nutrition drink that supports memory function for people in the early stages of Alzheimer's disease when taken daily for at least 6 months. Backed by 20 years of research, Suvenade contains a unique combination of nutrients formulated to support the growth of brain connections. Right now at Chemist Warehouse, Suvenade liquid 125ml range is $17.99. Suvenade is a food for special medical purposes for the dietary management of early Alzheimer's disease and must be used under medical supervision. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
131 873 is our number. We're here to answer your questions for your health and well-being. And so let's get to some calls now. Good morning, Stuart in Sydney.
Good morning, Stuart.
How are you going?
Very well. How can we help you?
That's good. So I used to be pretty fit and healthy going back pretty much most of my life. I'm 55, and I had a bad crash a couple of years ago, a bike crash, and I wanted to get back into health and fitness. And I went and saw my GP and wanted to push and get a fitness assessment.
Yes.
And I've just had that scan, the dye scan that you were talking about moments ago, just recently, and found out that I've got a 30% in my upper left and a 30 to 50% blockage in my D1.
Okay.
And I've been kind of cholesterol tablets and also high blood pressure tablets. And I'm just kind of wondering what I can do to change my diet that might actually reverse that.
I think the important thing is the medications are very important, Stuart. Mm. And sometimes we blokes think, oh, look, I'm feeling okay. I might drop that every second day or whatever. Keep that. They are important, and regular checkups from your either GP or cardiologist to just check how these blockages are going. That's the important thing. Now, the Heart Foundation has a whole series of things, and Zoe will have some suggestions. And really, it's all about eating sensibly. I mean, it's not hard to do. It's just a matter of eating clean. Zoe, go for it.
Most definitely. I mean, we talk about different type of diets per se, and I guess the lifestyle Mediterranean look is what we kind of really advocate more than anything else. What we want is we want rich in phytochemicals, we want huge amounts of antioxidants, and really things that are going to help to decrease any inflammation and risk that could actually potentially hurt your heart as well. I mean, it sounds like you were pretty healthy in the first place, so you probably have a good indication of sort of what those foods are. But I do sort of advocate not so much a ketogenic style diet, but it really focusing on those lean proteins, lots and lots of good fats, and try and take a low glycemic approach to carbohydrates. Again, Sydney Uni does a huge amount of research on diabetes, but also the impact on heart health as well when it comes to the glycemic index. But good luck, Stuart. That's so lucky that you got this information when you did. Good on you for searching and being the detective of your health.
And very briefly, Stuart, because you're taking a statin for your cholesterol, fatigue will probably be an ongoing issue. Get some advice from your pharmacist about ubiquinol to offset that fatigue, okay?
Yeah, good one.
Ubiquinol.
All the best, Stuart. James, good morning.
Morning, James.
Yes, good morning, everybody. About 3 to 4 weeks ago, I discovered that my tongue was getting blotchy. Mm-hmm. In other words, there was a red area which from the tip proceeding upwards. Mm-hmm. And it kind of affects, obviously, my taste. But I don't know how I got it, but it, I thought it'd go after a little while. But it's been about 3 to 4 weeks, and it's still there.
Is your taste
geographic or something?
Your geographical tongue. Or... Yep. And Stuart, James, is your taste still affected?
Slightly. It is because my taste and sense of smell have always been very acute. I could taste something and tell you what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Without looking. And but I still got it. But I can feel a little. Ting at the tip of the tongue.
Okay. Now, the mineral concerned here, James, is zinc. So you need a 30-milligram capsule of zinc, and let's do that for 3 or 4 months. That's going to actually get your sense of taste and smell back to normal. And also, too, if you could go and get some probiotic capsules and pull the capsule apart to get the powder inside and either put that on your tongue or mix it, pardon me, with a bit of yogurt and swill it around your mouth just to settle down your oral microbiome. So if you could do that, you'll find things will improve quite quickly.
There's some really good, I don't know if you've seen in the market, there's some beautiful kefir yogurts and very high, rich probiotic yogurts. And I find with a lot of my clients, just mixing some of those zinc and things like that into it in the morning and having it as a drink is such an easy way with some berries and maybe even some hemp seeds into it. Just a kind of a tick and a good way to kind of introduce it as a meal as well.
All the best with that, James. Phil from Mill Park. Good morning.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning to you all. Gerald, I've got a little issue with tinnitus. I've had impacted wax in my left ear, which yes. I've been told by my doctor to use Waxol, which good. I've been using for the last couple of days.
Yes.
I'm actually going back to see him tomorrow.
Okay.
It's working. The other thing is I also was on, heavens above, quite a strong antibiotic.
Yes.
Let me tell you, Augmentin Fort.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just wondering if both of those issues have led to this bit of tinnitus, which I hadn't had previously.
Mm-hmm.
When my ear's cleared and the Augmentin is out of my system, can I expect that tinnitus to subside, or do I need to be taking something to help me?
Look, time will tell, and your visit to your doctor tomorrow, Phil, will probably make a difference. So the important thing here, recognise there's no doubt that since COVID we're seeing a lot more tinnitus and a lot that, so that's the noise in your ears, and we're seeing a lot more of the vertigo type things. Mm. So there's a neurological issue here that we're only beginning to understand. Now, if your doctor tomorrow decides that the wax is gone and the tinnitus is still around, I mentioned before to Jan in Vaucluse this extract of ginkgo called EGB761. Your pharmacist has got that, so wait and see how you go with your GP tomorrow. If the tinnitus remains, get stuck onto that.
Thank you so much for your call there, Phil. Next up, Australian Manuka honey and its benefits on the 8Z of vitamins.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I must tell you that we've had no luck connecting with our decluttering guru, Peter Walsh, who is in Madrid at the moment. No luck with the phones in Spain right now. Aww. So, but Peter tells us that when next he's in Australia, he will definitely come on the show. So that conversation really just served to tell you that my house is a disaster zone. That's great. Good times for all of us. Gerald, time for A to Z of vitamins. And today we're talking honey.
And it's, look, honey's been around for thousands of years, Joe and Zoe, and really it's been underrated. And let me apologise straight away to our Kiwi listeners that the New Zealanders may think they've got a mortgage on the word manuka, but in fact Australia produces some of the most active medical grade high potency antibacterial manuka in the world. So we're going to lay claim to that as well, and good luck to the politicians to sort that out. But the important thing is the benefits of honey. It's good for upper respiratory tract infection symptoms. It's especially good for coughs because it's so soothing. And really, we're talking here about a medical grade honey, which is the manuka, and it has a rating, Joe. It's called, it's an MGO, methyl glyoxal. Now, that's the potency rate. Not big on big words on a Sunday morning, but that shows you the potency of the various manuka honeys. Quite delicious in cooking, in a cup of tea, whatever you want, but from a soothing the throat perspective at this time of the year, there's nothing better.
Oh, and with the colds and flus that we've all got at the moment.
And what about on a crumpet for breakfast?
And it's easy to get kids to take it. Yes, this is what I love about something like this. Emily is actually excited to have manuka honey when she's sick.
And it's been used for thousands of years, so I feel like...
crumpet when I get home.
I think I might. Well, the A to Z of vitamins is brought to you by Barnes Naturals 100% Australian Active Manuka Honey. Proven antibacterial action may help soothe and repair the body. Nurture yourself with naturally bioactive Australian Manuka honey. Taste the difference. We've got time for one more call. Good morning, John from Mooney Ponds.
Hello, John.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for a very informative show. Just had some pain in the last sort of 6 months on the base of both thumbs, but more so in the right, of course.
Yes.
I try and take a curcumin tablet every day.
Yes.
Is there something, can I increase that or something else I can put there?
Yes, go to the maximum dose, John. Those thumb joints are the hardest working joints in your body. And if you're going to get any symptoms of osteoarthritis, that's where it'll start. So using the curcumin or turmeric, curcumin being the active ingredient in turmeric, is sensible because it will be developing in other spots. Maximum dose, John, after food, and also there's some wonderful anti-inflammatory creams that you can use on those joints, and you'll find that you'll keep it under control.
And Helen from Sensuvi, we've got time for just a very quick question from you.
Hello, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How can we help?
My sister has nerve pain in the face and it's really unbelievable. Can you tell me anything I can help her with?
You can suggest to her, Helen, to go and buy today some lipoic acid, L-I-P-O-I-C. There's a 400 milligram capsule that you can buy. She can take one of those twice a day after food, specific for neuropathic or nerve pain. And it will settle, and perhaps some magnesium before she goes to sleep at night so that she doesn't clench her teeth or tense up overnight.
All the best, and it's lovely that you're looking out for your sister there, Helen. Yes. Thank you so much to all of our callers this morning. Do head to houseofwellness.com.au to the Ask tab. Gerald is there to answer those questions, and we'll get to more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
We've heard about the amazing superfood properties of manuka honey, but did you know Australia has some of the most active manuka honey in the world? Experience the bioactive power of Barnes Naturals 100% Australian manuka honey. With a lighter, creamier taste, it's a great choice for every occasion. Nurture yourself with Barnes Naturals Premium 100% Australian manuka honey today from only $19.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
It has been lovely to spend the last hour with you. Of course, you can get more House of Wellness on the TV show today, Channel 7 at midday. And if you're really keen on some decluttering tips, we do cover decluttering on the TV show. So we failed you this morning on this show, but there's advice there. But the story I really loved was Maggie Beer,
oh, yes,
who has joined the quest to provide quality food in aged care. What a very critical thing she's doing.
And she does it so well and so nicely. And how you call out the system for being so appalling and smile about it, she's got that skill.
She does it so well.
And good luck to her. We need more people like her representing a part of Australia which I think is in sad neglect.
And it's so interesting if you think about just the simple pleasure that food gives to all of us, but particularly to someone in aged care. You know, it can really be the difference between having a good day and a bad day, and they need nutrient-dense food. It's so important that that food is actually feeding them to get better, to have better mental health, to have better physical health as well.
But it's alarming to hear and read that there are so many people who are actually malnourished.
Yeah, in fact, it's disgraceful.
It's disgraceful.
2022. Disgraceful. And it's been allowed to happen for too long, and the whole thing needs to be reviewed.
But so if you have a senior person in your life who does struggle to eat foods, which I know is something that does happen, I've witnessed it in my grandparents, what would you recommend?
So it's interesting because obviously what we want is first of all something, because a lot of the time their body's quite acidic, the medication they're taking, so it needs to be something that can be digested effectively as well. So it might be that within those, you know, smoothies and things like that that you're adding in, you could add some of these beautiful products that are in the market now as well. We know that it's so easy if we can get a lovely cross-section of food into someone's diet, but again, it has to be easy for them to digest as well. So this is where soups and stews can be fantastic. They're cheap, they're effective, you can freeze them, you can portion them correctly as well. But when you actually look at sort of how much per person that was being allowed for each age in aged care spending, it was diabolical. It was such a small amount of money. And again, if you look long term, that has a bigger impact on their health.
So check out Maggie Beer on House of Wellness today, Channel 7 at midday. Also, there's an amazing story. Find out how to take part in a major international study for stutterers. That's wonderful as well. As always, we say thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. Head to houseofwellness.com.au for more information. And we'll see you all next week.